issue is. We'll work on it. Seems to be working right now. Someone said it was Satan. Other people thought it was our governor. I'm not quite sure. So Twitter trying to stop us here. But we're going to go with it, and I hope, pray that it stays with us. We're recording either way, so if there is some type of, if there is some type of issue, it will be posted later on. We are in Luke chapter 8. We were here last week when we looked at Jairus' son, a daughter being healed, and we looked at the, we didn't read these verses. That was the interlude when they were on those way to get his daughter healed, and so this is a different story that's plugged right in between there, and I want us to look at that today. As we look at what we are going through, one of the benefits of what's going on is people aren't as busy as they used to be. They have more time. In our society, people are typically, we're so busy, we have so much going on, we don't have enough time for everything that we want to get done. If you go to Amazon and you look at their book section and you type in time management, you will get thousands of books. Everybody's trying to make a profit off it. I saw this little quote from a book, and it doesn't make any sense to me. The book is called Time Warrior. It's a book about time management. Let me read the paragraph that tells you about the book. And if you understand it, text me, because I have no clue what the guy's trying to say. He says, this book takes you on a 101-chapter journey intended to transmute the basic metals of ordinary linear time consciousness into the gold of the time warrior's nonlinear vision. You will learn to create for yourself a newfound and more powerful cognitive style that will make time tracking, multitasking, and other clock subservient behaviors an unsavory and distant memory. I just lost time reading that, okay? That makes no sense. And people fall for this stuff because we want more time. What is the issue with not having time? The biggest issue is when we're too busy is we don't have time for others. That's the biggest thing. We let investing in others. I don't know how many times, and I appreciate when you say this, but you don't need to. People say, Pastor, can I meet with you for a few minutes? Can I do this? And they'll say, can you call me, this, that, or the other. Says, I know you're busy. Okay, well, if I'm too busy to talk to you, then I'm too busy. And if we're too busy to help somebody, we're too busy. We're going to see in this story, this is what happened here. Jesus was in the middle of something, but he was not too busy for this one particular lady that came his way. Last week we saw that story of Jairus and how Jesus came to heal his daughter. And as Jesus is taking off with him to go heal his daughter, he is stopped by this woman. This woman who had a disease, an issue of blood that bothered her for 12 years. Here's Jairus. He wants to get to his daughter. He's in a hurry. And now this intrusion is coming. It was a delay for him. But this is something Jesus needed to help with. 12 years. She had the disease. Now you think about it. Jairus had, his daughter was 12 years old. They both had issues. One, he was going to lose the joy of his life. This other lady, she wanted to get rid of this pain she had held on to for 12 years. They both had a need. Needs are different. Troubles are different. But thank God Jesus can help all of us. But as we have seen on many occasions, if you look in the New Testament, in the midst of the crowd is always an individual that seems to be pushed to the side that has a need. And this lady was like that. The crowds come and they're curious and they want to find out what's going on. But in the crowds, there's that one person. They're not just there to see this person they've heard about. They're not just there hoping to see some type of miracle. They have a legitimate need, and this lady was one of them. Jesus more often is not as interested in the crowd as he is in the needs of the individuals. All she wants is relief. She believes that Jesus can give her that. She doesn't want to burden him. In fact, if she's just like, if I can get close enough, he doesn't even have to know, and I can just touch him. And really, she didn't even want to touch him, just to touch the border of his garment, everything would be okay. You know, we've all heard the song, "He Touched Me." Well, in this one, she needed to touch him. You see, the issue of blood she had was a serious thing because it did not just affect her physically. Because of that issue and the Jewish law, it affected her spiritually. She was ceremonially unclean and couldn't participate in the spiritual rituals of the Jews. And so she wants to be healed. She did not even feel worthy to come and talk to Jesus about it. She just wanted to touch the border of his garment. It was one of those tassels that would hang from his garment. She said, if I could just touch that. And she did. She comes out of the crowd. She gets down there. She touches it. She can feel the healing. And then she slips back into the crowd. And she's going to go on her way, but Jesus didn't want it to stop there. After all, he wanted people to know what had happened. So what did he do? He calls her out in a good way. You see, Jesus always had time for people. He could have just said, well, I'm on my way and she's healed and she's on her way and I'll just go. But he had time for people. Think about Zacchaeus in the tree. Jesus going by and points him out. Nicodemus came to see him at night because he was fearful, but Jesus spent time with him. The 10 lepers came and they get cleansed, but one of them comes back to Jesus. The little children who came to him that his disciples even saw as an irritation and said, hey, you want us to get him out of there? He goes, no, don't do that. The woman at the well, Jesus went specifically out of his way to help her. But Jesus had time for people. But why would he stop specifically with this lady when he was on his way to a little girl who was dying, and we will soon find out that she did die? But why would he stop and take this time? There are five reasons why Jesus was not too busy to stop and point out this lady who was healed. And I want to give those to you briefly. Reason number one, because there was a contamination that needed purification. This poor lady had been going through it for a long time. She needed a physical and a spiritual cleansing. This affected every part of her life, and she needed something. She needed purification because it cost her spiritually. Look at verse 43. And this woman, having an issue of blood 12 years. Now, we have mentioned this type of issue made her unclean, and it affected what she could do. It affected her spiritual life, and Jesus knew that. The only way she could be back into, in a sense, fellowship, to be able to take part in all that was going on, was her blood issue to be healed. Now, let me say this. All of us had a spiritual condition that affects how close we can be to God. That spiritual condition is called sin. All of us sin. Sin is disobedience. And sin dramatically affects our relationship with God. In a horrific sense, it affects our eternal relationship with God. One day we will die if our sin is not dealt with, and we will go to hell. But thank God Jesus came to take care of that. But if we are saved, it still can affect our earthly relationship with God. Oh, if we're saved and we sin, we don't lose our salvation. We're still God's child. We're still going to heaven, but it hurts our relationship with God. It contaminates that relationship with God. Put her trust in the doctors to help her be alleviated from her pain. By the way, Luke writing this, he was a doctor, and he understands that there's only so much doctors can do. But she had put her whole financial trust in investing in these doctors, and it didn't do anything to help. It's amazing what people will sacrifice. As the holier life we live, the healthier life we live. And I'm not saying if you're a Christian and you're living right, you know, you're going to live forever. There's stuff in our DNA we can't take care of. But no matter what that time frame is for you, no matter what it is, it's better if we just live a holier life. See, sin affects our health. There are people that you see them and they'll tell you their age and it's like, man, they look a lot older than they were. Sometimes sin makes you look worse. Sin ravages our body, can kill our spirit. It kills our mind. Internally, it does a lot. Secondly, another reason why Jesus had time for her is because there was a commitment that needed notification. Look at verse 44. Came behind him, this lady, and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. She had faith and commitment enough to believe if that she could just get to Jesus, she could be healed. And maybe she didn't want to touch Jesus because she realized being unclean, she should not be touching him. The first really instance of social distancing here. You could almost see her going to the crowd and kind of sneaking her way out. And as Jesus goes by, trying to be unnoticed, she grabs it, the tassel. And then she sheepishly sneaks back into the crowd and she's going to go her way without letting anybody know what was going on. But for Jesus, his healing of her was not enough. The commitment of faith that she had to be healed needed to be followed by a commitment of faith to be a follower. Jesus didn't want this to be something that she kept to herself. You know what Jesus does not want from us as his children? Silence. He doesn't need invisible believers. He doesn't need invisible disciples. We're willing to go and get what we can for ourselves as long as it doesn't affect having to let anybody outside of ourselves know what we're doing. There are too many Christians that hide their Christianity. He doesn't want a private commitment. He wants it to be shared publicly. He doesn't want us just to come to him for what we need. He wants us to share what he has done outwardly. He doesn't want just to heal us. He wants us completely. That's what Romans 12:1 is telling us. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. He's talking to the brethren, those that are saved. He goes, what we really want is we want you to be a living sacrifice. You present yourselves to God. It's not just something you get. You know, what do they say? Politics and religion are private things. Maybe religion is, but not Christianity. We're supposed to be outward about it. People needed to be notified that she had a commitment to him, that she had faith in him. And as we'll see in a minute, how can anybody else be encouraged if she kept it to herself? Look at the next thought. Jesus had time for her because there was a calling that needed publication. Verse 43, and Jesus said, who touched me? She thought she got away with it. She thought no one would notice. She thought she could just go on her way. And Jesus stops and goes, who touched me? Who touched me? And when all denied. Now, I always like that. Sometimes while the grandkids are over the house and there's something done, I'm like, hey, who did that? And they'll say, I didn't do it. Do you know I didn't ask who didn't do it? I ask who did do it, right? And that's how people are. Hey, who touched me? I didn't do it. Not me. Man, they all denied it as fast as they could. Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee. They're all around you and press thee. And sayest thou who touched? He says, come on. There's this big crowd, Master. There probably a lot of people touched you. What are you talking about? How are you going to figure that out? And Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. Jesus knew that virtue, or that means power, had been released. But the power that was released needed to be followed up with a testimony as to its effect. Jesus wanted a confession as well. Because you're not just going to sneak, who touched me? Now you could see her in the crowd as he was persistent, like, uh-oh, going to find out. They're going to find out about this. But why would Jesus want her to make a confession? By the way, it would be an embarrassment to her because of the type of issue that she had. But I think there are three reasons why Jesus wanted her to publicly acknowledge what happened to her. First, for her sake. Now think about it. Had she just snuck out, she would have never met Jesus in a more personal way. And he's going to tell her something very important at the end. She just thought she'd just come and she'd get healed and go her way and live her life. And Jesus said, no. You need to let me know. Well, it was for her sake. He didn't want her just to get a healing. He wanted her to have an opportunity and experience a greater relationship. As we mentioned, the 10 lepers, 9 of them went their way and 1 of them got back and got to talk to the Lord. 1 of them went to the Lord and was thankful. And so she needed to confess this for her sake and for his sake. You know, Jesus wanted to be close. By the way, it amazes me. Jesus wants to be close to all of us. I'll never understand that. You know, I often think about this. What does Jesus get out of our relationship with him? Typically nothing. Our selfish American-style Christianity is more geared towards what we get out of it, making ourselves feel good without any thought as to how this affects God. We're selfish. All we worry about is ourselves. What about Jesus? Listen, don't we understand that the whole reason he saved us in the first place is because he wants to have a relationship with us? He didn't want us to die in our sin. He didn't want us to be separated from God forever. He wants to have a relationship. And so, yes, it was for her sake, but hey, it was for his sake too. But more than that, it was for help's sake. What do you mean? Do we not forget who was with them? It wasn't just the disciples and Jesus trying to push through the crowd. There was a man who had come to get Jesus because his daughter was dying. And now here is, and he needs Jesus to do something mighty. And now here's this interruption. But this lady's going to come forward, and he needed to hear what she had to say because he was going to need that testimony of what God could do, because pretty quick was coming up that the news that he had was going to be worse. Pretty soon as this is done, they're going to come and say, your daughter's already dead. And it was going to be good for him to have heard this lady who sheepishly comes out of the crowd and says, yes, I was healed. He needed to hear that. People need to hear our stories. People need to hear our testimony of what God has done for us. You say, but I'm saved. God hasn't done anything for you. Well, first of all, I would argue with you. He saved you from hell. But he has done something for you. Maybe you just haven't taken advantage of it. You see, as I mentioned, as we talked on James on Thursday night, we go through things sometimes that aren't very pleasant, and God wants us to get through there so he can teach us. But you know what God will do? He will use what he did in your life to be an encouragement and a help to other people, if you'll let him. People need our story. People need to know what God has done in our life. People need to know where God has brought us from. There are people out there that don't have any hope. And let me just say, we live in negative times. We're taking this virus that we have to fight through right now, and people are acting like this is going to be for 100 years. No, we need hope. That didn't go over very well, but there's no one here anyhow. Okay, we need hope. I'm sick of the phrase the new normal. You can keep your new normal. I want the old normal. I understand that right now this is a frame of time we have to go through. Can I just tell you something? We cower in fear. And we want to live like this for the next 20 years. Man's done pretty good for the last several thousand years. Let's get through this and let's get over it. and let's go for God. But anyhow, back to our regularly scheduled message. People need help. And there are people that don't have hope. There are people that they're listening to all that's going on and all the negativity and all the, and they don't have any hope. What about us that know Jesus Christ? We have hope. But if we're not willing to share that with others, we're not much of a help. Jesus wanted her to come forward for her sake, for his sake, but for help's sake. Next, there was a confession that needed identification. Look at verse 47. And when the lady saw that she was not hid, in other words, she didn't pull off the Houdini act very well, she came trembling and falling down before him. The woman finally comes forward, knowing that she has been found out. Maybe she thought, am I going to be rebuked? I disturbed the master? Maybe she thought that people wouldn't understand. I don't know what was going through her mind, but she was trembling. But see, there was a confession that needed identification. There were some things that she needed to make public. She needed to make it public to the crowd. Verse 47, she declared unto him before all the people. There was a huge crowd there. But how many of those people in that large crowd received any blessing from the Lord that day? I wonder how many. I know this lady did. I know this lady who was willing to step out, even if she was hiding, she thought Jesus could do something. A lot of them were just there because they heard about it, the press clippings and all this. Maybe we'll see a miracle. But this lady got something. She needed to come out for the crowd. How many of them had their lives completely altered by Jesus Christ? She did. How many of them would go home and never be the same? She would. How many of them really had faith? She did. Hopefully, when they heard what happened to her, they would be filled. Listen to me. I hope you're still online. You think you could be filled with a holy discontent about your own meeting with Jesus Christ. By the way, I hope you get challenged sometimes. I know I do. I hear people sometimes say things, and I just feel like, man, I could use more of that in my life. You know, what we try to do is we try to calm people down. You know why? Because we want to stay where we're at. I want to hear somebody that's farther down the road, and I feel like, you know, I'm like, do I even know God? That's a good thing, by the way. So we go place, you know, we'll go to the pastor's conference or something, we'll hear these pastors, and I'm like, man, am I even saved? My wife would tell me no. It's like, it's a challenge. I want to be filled with, like, you know what? I want to have a little bit more of that. And I hope those people sit there. We're sitting here in this crowd, and here's this poor lady. She got something from Jesus Christ. I hope that's how it is. By the way, a crowd is usually content to be complacent. Everything's okay. There's a bunch of us. We have a great church. We have a great group of people. But no matter what in a group of people, there's always some that get more from God than others. And it ought not to be that way. Instead of standing out, so often we're satisfied with settling down. Some new convert comes, they're doing really good. It's like, yeah, I know. They'll grow out of that. I hope not. And by the way, if you're the type of person that would say that, I hope you grow back into it. Don't grow out of it. Man, I'm glad Jesus did something for me. I'm not going to tell me how years ago. But I want him to still do things for me today. I don't want to be content with that. I don't. And so this crowd needed to see that. And then they need to hear about the cause. Verse 47. So she told the crowd for what cause she had touched them. Now think about this. What was her cause? It was a ceremonially unclean, embarrassing for her situation. I'm not going to go into what it is. You study it yourself. I don't want to say it in a mixed crowd, even on television or iPad or iPhone. But it was embarrassing for her. But she told them the cause. Here's why I came. Could it be that some of the unpleasant things that we have gone through, that the Lord has got us through, could be a source of encouragement to others going through the same thing? See, we're so embarrassed about our lives and what we went through. It's like, that's embarrassing. But there's somebody silently sitting there saying, I'm going through the same thing. I'm going through something like that. Now, by the way, that doesn't mean when we're giving our testimony, we need to confess all of our sin. Okay? You know, I used to do this, this, this. We don't need all that. We get it. We grew up in a rough neighborhood or rough thing, and I know we're specific, but we got to be very careful. But the point is, people need to know that God did something in our life. Jesus saved me from, you know, whatever. I don't think we understand just how much God can use us if we're just willing to step forward from the crowd and be honest about what Jesus has done for us. Jesus has done great things. Remember the maniac of Gadara, go home. Tell what great things the Lord hath done for you. Go tell everybody what you did. He could go back and say, I was living in a graveyard. They tried to chain me up and they couldn't do it. I wasn't clothed very right. I was not in my right mind. I was a wretch, and now I'm saved. I'm clothed. I'm in my right mind. There was a cause. But she also needed to share the cure. Verse 47 again. And how she was healed immediately. No matter what we have went through, we're not to glory in what we've went through. We're to quickly tell that we had struggles in our life, but we went to the cure. Jesus Christ is the cure. And by the way, I like that. She was healed immediately. Now, I know we need to work through some things, but I'm just going to be honest with you, people. There are some people, it takes you too long to work through some things. Okay? Even as an unspiritual teenager, I got over alcohol one night. And I every weekend, we're out drinking. And I just had enough of it. I woke up one Saturday and I felt like garbage and I said, that's enough. And that was the last time until I got married. No. That's it. I was over it. Now, I know some things take a little longer, but come on, people. Quit excusing our sin to take months to get over it. I'm just struggling with pornography. Throw your phone away. I'll fight it. I was less today than I was yesterday. Nonsense. And you won't want to come see me now. That's okay. You come see me. I'm struggling with pornography. I'm like, get rid of your phone. Turn off the internet. But we can get over some of these things. And I'm not just pointing that out. I could point it out over and over, whatever. You know, I'm struggling, you know, I'm kind of being flirtatious. Change your phone number. Back to our regularly scheduled message. But the cure, it doesn't take forever. Yes, we'll have temptations. I'm not, you know, trying to be mean here. But is he not a cure? And they needed to hear that. That crowd sitting there like, hey, this is neat. Jesus is kind of this different guy. And this lady's like, he cured me. I wonder if people start thinking, hey, what am I going through? I wonder if I can be cured. Lastly, why else did Jesus have time for her? Because there was a comfort that needed verification. He needed to verify in her life that something was different. I like verse 48. She gives all this testimony. She has no clue what Jesus is going to say. And he says this. And he said to their daughter, by the way, that had to be comforting. Woman, that's not comforting. Daughter, be of good comfort. Don't be distressed about this. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. That probably was an encouragement to her. But she wouldn't have got it if she didn't come to Jesus. See, Jesus wants us to be with him. Maybe the reason we don't have comfort, of course, if we don't have faith, we're going to struggle. But let's, okay, we have faith. Maybe we don't have comfort. Maybe we don't have peace in our life. Maybe we're not coming to Jesus as much as we should. Oh, we'll go to that. We'll go to social media right away. By the way, there's nutcases all over that thing. We'll listen to these garbage news reporters. And everything they throw out, it's just, where's God? Where is God? comfort. How many of us are missing out on the life of faith because we simply just don't come to Jesus on a daily basis? You say, man, I need comfort each and every day. I want to have peace today. Well, let me ask you a question. Did you meet with Jesus today? Well, it's Sunday. Okay, what are you going to do tomorrow? You going to hide in the weeds? You going to hide in the crowd? Hiding in the crowd doesn't get comfort. Jesus, it's funny. Jesus wasn't too busy for her, and Jesus isn't too busy for us, but it's amazing to me that we're too busy for him. Oh, you're not too busy for whatever you're doing. You're not too busy for your hobby. You're not too busy to watch your favorite team lose again. You say, well, you can't watch them lose now. Then if you're a Raider fan, watch old videos of them losing. They're all over the place. Okay? We have time for all of that. Well, you know, just been busy. I can't spend 15 minutes in my Bible. You're missing out on comfort. You're missing out on comfort. Oh, did you miss out on eating? We find time for that. That's a big deal. But let's make sure we don't lose. Look, Jesus had a word for her. And she would never have got it if she didn't come to him. Hey, let's not miss out on what he has for us. Jesus is not too busy. For many of us, and I don't mean this to be mean. If you take it that way, I'm sorry, but this is... Many of us, our relationship to God is confined to a couple hours on a Sunday morning, and that's it. You know, if you're married, that wouldn't go very well with your spouse. I do. Okay. This is great. All right, I'll see you on Sunday morning from 9:30 to 11:30, and then the rest of the week I'll do what I want. That won't work. Well, in some cases, it may work. No, it won't work. There's 168 hours in a week. You say, well, you know, Pastor Myers, I've been doing this three to flourish with you. By the way, thank you. I encourage you to keep doing that. So that means, one, two, three. That's 3 to 4 hours a week. Well, I'm watching the teen service, 5 hours a week. I saw the puppet show. That doesn't count. Okay. But that's there's 164 hours a week. Do you want comfort? Do you want peace in your life? Spend more time with him. He's not too busy for you. What am I saying? I said a lot. In the midst of this journey, Jesus was not too busy for this woman, this lady. There's a lot of reasons for it. But you know what the reason was? He wanted her to have more than she got. More than healing? I mean, that healing right there would transform her life. Not spiritually. Jesus wanted her to have a life greater than just being physically healed. He wanted to spend time with her, and he wanted her to spend time with him. And the same is true for us today. Let's pray together, if we could, in the quietness there. I know if you have your children, you probably don't have a nursery. But what about you today? Would you be content, as she may have been content, to just touch the border of his garment and then go your way? Just to receive your eternal healing and then do your own thing? Are we seeking to have God do more than just save us from our sin and its penalty, but to allow him to save us from sin's power so we can be a testimony of what God has done in our life to everybody we come in contact with? By the way, no one's going to ever come by and say, you know, I'm getting too much encouragement today. There's too much good news out there today. No, there isn't. We need to give them some. You're missing out on the comfort and peace that comes